Right, open our books, please, okay. Second book of Second Samuel. Second Samuel, the fifth chapter. Second Samuel, the fifth chapter, verse 10. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him. I notice a little word in the margin of my Bible, maybe in yours too, and I like it. I like it very, very much. It says that David went on going and growing. I wonder, could we all say so? Went on going and growing. Now both go together. I remember when the Lord gave us our first child. You see, there's 2 days I look back to. The day when God saved me, I got a real Savior. And the other day is when I got a wife. Good wife is from the Lord, and he gave me a good wife. And then he gave us a boy. And I always remember every month of that boy's life for his first year, that was 12 months, I used to see the mother take that little boy, put him on a scale, and she says, "Honey, you know he has gained so much during the month." And then I noticed she measured him, and he has grew so much during the month, and that went on for about 2 or 3 years. Of course, when there was other members in the family, I think they got neglected quite a little bit. But growing and going goes together with children. And I wonder, does it not go together with those of us in the Lord? This verse was directed to me last night from our two brethren that spoke to us in the opening of this conference. And I certainly say one thing, that God used those men to give me a little lift in the things of God. When I think of those words that last evening closed with, it's a good thing to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. Can you say that? Can I say that? I have put my trust in the Lord. That's the Lord God, the living God. And I shall declare all his wonderful works. When God saved me, and that's a number of years ago, I discovered something that I've never discovered in all my lifetime. Of course, I thought when God saved me that, why, it's just wonderful. I'm going to have smooth sail, and I'm just going to sail right along. I'll never have a trouble. I'll never have a sorrow. I'll never have a grief. I'll never have an ache. I'll never have a pain. Why, it's a wonderful thing to be saved. But I wasn't long on the road until I discovered something, that the going wasn't as easy as I thought it was. Now, you may never have discovered that, but I discovered that. And I discovered something that almost grieved me. And I wondered as to whether or not I was really saved. I discovered that there was enemies to hinder me from going on. Of course, you may not have any enemies, but I discovered I had. I discovered I had an enemy within. And an enemy without. And I lived in a world that was against the law. I made that discovery. Have you made that discovery yet? Or is things just easy going in your life and you sail right on? Well, I made that discovery. the enemy within is the flesh. Now we're not to put any confidence in the flesh. On the flesh is not to be trusted. You know that as well as I know. The apostle says that he died daily to self. That's what our brother spoke on last night, our brother Henry. There's got to be a fasting out of that old man. A denying of that old man. We are not to live in the flesh. We're not to cater to the flesh. And you say, well, what are we going to do? There's only one thing you can do. And that is to turn yourself over entirely to the Lord. That's all I know you can do. The flesh will just creep up when you least expect it. And it's going to give you trouble. But thank God for that wonderful verse that I had discovered years ago from the Word of God. That verse that tells me that He was made sin for us. He was made sin for me. That I might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He, through His death on the cross, dear friends, destroyed the thing that's in me. Now you say, well, can you live a bold sin? Well, it's true that sin is in us. But we're not to be in it. We are to, as the apostle says in the 12th chapter of Romans, we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service. God expects that. That's a reasonable service. Now, we find out there's an enemy within. And then I also thought, well, you know, it's just like this. I'm saved now and happy as that people whose God is the Lord. And if you are saved and you're not happy, there's something drastically wrong. Because God's people is a happy people. Happy is that man whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Are you happy? And I thought, well, I mean, this is just wonderful. This is almost too good. Why? I'm saved, my sins are gone, I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Why? The old devil don't bother me anymore. I don't even have an adversary anymore now. Why, I thought, why, the devil would never appear anymore. You ever make that mistake? I'll tell you a little secret with me. I made a discovery that the devil gave me more trouble when God saved me than he ever did in the unconverted days. I didn't even know there was a devil in the unconverted days. Brought up in a religious way. But Satan never gave me any trouble in the unconverted days, dear friends. But when God saved me, I found out I had an enemy without, and that was Satan. He's the accuser of the brethren day and night. I discovered to my sorrow, dear friends, that there was enemies without and within. You know, since God saved me, He has showed me many things in the world. I didn't know anything about assemblies when God saved me. The reason I'm among the assembly today is not because of what someone taught me or someone told me or what books I read. I was reading in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, and they tell me that the church is not mentioned in Jeremiah. But I was reading in the 15th chapter when God showed me my place outside the camp. And you say, well, what did God show me? I was brought up, I say, in a very religious way. But I was reading that wonderful book, and I was reading about Jeremiah, and he found the Word of God. My, that was a great find, wasn't it? It was lost in the temple, the house of God. And he found it. It was mixed among the rubbish. It was a great find. And he began to read it. He esteemed it more than his necessary food. It was a great meal to him. And with great prosperity, it brought joy and rejoicing to his heart. I discovered these things in reading that book. But I discovered something I never saw before. I discovered I had got a new name. Called by thy name. The Lord God of hosts. I made that discovery that I was no more Episcopalian, but I was a Christ one. I belong to the living God. I'm a Christian. A Christian is one that is Christ. And when I saw that, it did something to me. And the reason I'm among those today that are none as gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus, only no other name, no other head, save the head in heaven, the name of the blessed Lord Jesus, is simply because of what God showed me from that wonderful chapter in the Old Testament. Now, there's one thing I want to say. That Satan, the enemy without, never takes a vacation where there's no assembly of God's people. I hope you don't misunderstand me. If there's one place that the devil hates, it's the assembly of God's people, dear friends. And Satan's business today is to raise up discontentment, discouragement of one kind and another, and try to bring in little things, little foxes that spoil the vines, that has got no fundamental value whatsoever. And they keep the people of God apart. I say the devil never takes a vacation where there's no assembly. But sometimes we do. You ever know of anyone taking a vacation where there's no assembly? You look at the good side of it first. I have been very much impressed this year. I have discovered something this year, dear friends, that has done my soul good. I have saw a number of young people from Canada, from the United States, and they have spent their vacation 2 and 3 weeks and some of them more in serving the Lord, some of them in camps, doing what they can for God. Some of them, my friends, going from place to place, giving out tracts. And some of them are reckless conversions today from those young people as well as middle-aged and old that left their circle of work for 2 or 3 weeks vacation. God has used it in a miraculous way to the glory of God. Take this crusade even in the state of Louisiana and other places. And down there where our brother Sleeve is. It's marvelous the way God has used it. It's marvelous, I say, the way that God has used the effort there. In getting the word out, you see, literature today is used by Satan so much. Communists is getting their literary out in the schools, in the homes, all over the country. What are we doing about it? What a wonderful thing to be able to spend a vacation fishing for God. fishing for God, fishing after souls. Dear brother rode with me up here. He's in the meetings. I can't say too much about him. He's a good friend of mine anyway. But he says, Brother Tom, he said, I hear you're going to be one of the speakers at the conference. And he almost floored me. You know what he told me, Brother Tom? He's listening to me. He says, bring forth the fish that you have now caught. Don't bring some old stale ones that has been canned for years. What would you say if some preacher told you that? Well, there's only one thing, dear friends, I could say. I said, dear brother, they said we have got nothing. They caught nothing. They didn't have anything to give. But I'll say this. They were in touch with one that could give them. He says, cast the net on the right side, and ye shall find. Many of us have been fishing over the past year, but we have caught no fish. And we haven't got what it takes to come right out and say, Lord, we have caught nothing. And we're like the man that we heard last night. He was casting out devils and the disciples forbade him. You know the reason why they forbade him? Because they had failed themselves and yet they had got power in chapter 6. They were jealous because somebody was doing something they weren't doing. And the Lord said, forbidden not. Have you been catching fish? Now we'll go back again. Never take a vacation where there is no assembly. Oh, you say, well, that's where I like to go. I like to get as far away from the assembly of God's people as I possibly know where. Well, and he says, then I'm all right. I'm just away from all those people. You're away from the best people on earth and you don't know it. You wouldn't be the first one that did it. Elimelech says, now listen, we have been catching no fish here. This is God's land. I say, God is my king. They have no king in Israel, but the Lord God's my king. But you know, this is a dry place. The house of God being a dry place, I wonder why it's dry. No fish. Nothing to offer for God. Honey, there's no use in us staying here. Let us go on a vacation. And then he talks it over with the family, takes the family on the vacation. I wonder why he brings the family. Sometimes we wonder why our children don't turn out right. You know the reason why they don't turn out right? Maybe I'm better not say. The word of God is very clear unto them. And he talks it over the family. Honey, get the children ready. We're going fishing. We're going on a vacation. We're going to sojourn it. And we're going down to Moab. There's no assembly at Moab. That's the place that God has cursed. That's the descendants of Lot. Went down on a vacation. You know how long they stayed down there? They stayed down there 10 years. Do you know when there was restoration to God? When there was 3 funerals carried out. God has to come in, dear friends, and take men home to restore people to himself. Never take a vacation where there's no assembly. Oh, you say, well, I'm just like Jonah. I'm just sick and tired of this and that. Sick and tired of what? Telling the wonderful works of God? Oh, dear friends, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'm just going to be like Jonah. God says, you go 600 miles one way. No, Lord. You've got it all wrong. I know more than you. I'm going to go 600 miles in the opposite direction. I'm going to get away from all the people of God altogether. And nobody is going to be any wiser of my goal. He goes down. You can see him staggering into that old boat. Oh, he paid his way. He was honest. Thank God he was honest. he paid his way. You can't ride the devil's steamer on a vacation without paying for it. Everything you do, my friends, in the devil's territory, you have to pay for. And I say, his wages are very high. And onto the old ship he went. He went onto the ship. And down into the bottom of the ship to get away from everything he went. And he had a good night's sleep. Yes, he did. And God sent a terrific storm. Oh, dear friends, you can't get away from God. You're going to have to meet God. You're going to have to reap one day. There's a day of reckoning coming. And the storm got worse and worse. And they tried everything, but no success. There's something wrong. There's a man on board missing. And he had to be looked up, and here was Jonah. Why, I just want to forget God's people. I want to forget the assembly of God's people. I want to forget the worship meeting. I want to forget all this thing. I just want to get away from God. Come on up, Jonah. Wake up. Bring him right up. I'm not going into detail. And the story was to throw him overboard. He desired that. He was honest. It's because of me. God's dealing with me. You see, God deals with his people as with his own children. Every child in whom he receiveth, he correcteth. And if you be without correction, he says, you're not a child. So he corrected him. And down into the old bottom he went. Oh, I can almost see him. He never got such a dive in his lifetime. And God kept him alive too. And the Lord, you know, the word of God is wonderful. He says the old seaweeds come up around his neck and choke him. And then you can see the old crabs coming up. And the old turtles. And they're just crawling. I'll tell you, he was most uncomfortable. I hope if he had been back, he'd have said, Lord, I'll go and do what you told me. I want to be where God's people are. I don't want to be where God's people are not. I hope you would. And then all of a sudden, when he was lying there among the old seaweeds and they were choking him, he saw a great big apartment house coming along, right in the bottom of the old ocean there. And it had a great big door. And before he had time to think, why, weeds, old crabs, turtles and everything, right down into his new living quarters. You say, my, he must have had a wonderful experience. He did have a wonderful experience. Some people like experience. And for 3 days and 3 nights in that new home of his, he learned one lesson. It don't pay to leave God out of your life. I'm not going to take another vacation without God. Salvation is of the Lord. He graduated from fish school in 3 days. Sometimes it takes us a whole lifetime to graduate. And then we don't graduate at all. And the Lord said, that's enough, Jonah. And he steered that great big old submarine. You talk about our new inventions. There's nothing like it in the world today with all the nuclear bases. He steered that towards Nineveh. And he came to the very place where he told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he dumped him right out. My, I just wish you had a song. I'll tell you, he was a different boy from when he went in. God can change people. He said, Lord, Lord, I'll go, Lord, I'll go. And he said, all right, you go to Nineveh, I beat you twice. Now, God speaks once, Jay, twice. It's going to be worse the next time you don't go. It's a 3-day journey from here. You get busy. And he got so busy he went in one day. That's how it works. I tell you, when you learn the lesson from God, things are different. I'll go fishing, but I'll go fishing in the right part. Don't you take a vacation without God, dear friends. Spend your vacation fishing for God and bring some of the fish that you have caught and give them to others. Bring now the fish. The world, I say, is another enemy without. You and I are living in the world. And as long as we're here, we'll have trouble in the world. But we read, victory, he has brought about victory. I have overcome the world. Victory is ours. So I leave this little verse as I go to another. And David went on growing and going. And God wants us to grow I wonder how we grow it. Now, to grow, we'll have to have the necessary food. If you want to see that little babe in the home grow, you'll have to give it the food. Oh, you got so much at hand today, it's not hard, you say. Why, you can buy all these little cans and you can get, well, see that it gets the right kind of food. It'll develop. Its bones will develop. It'll develop. If you're going to grow in the things of God, and certainly you should grow, you are going to have the right kind of food. There is no pastries with God, dear friends. You don't need the old devil's dish rags at all. You need to get busy with the Word of God. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. When God saved me, this book was a new book to me. I loved it. It was this book that brought me to the United States of America, my friends. When God saved me, I carried this book with me on the subway trains in New York where I lived for years. I carried it to work with me. It was a book that I loved, dear friends. I loved the covers of it, as well as the contents. If we're going to grow, we'll have to love the book. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot or tittle of the good book will pass away. According to the book of Hebrews, there's some of the Lord's people that don't grow. When they should have been teachers, they were still on the first principle, which was myth. And they weren't able to take the strong meat of the Word of God. I wonder, are we getting the right diet? I'm not going to go into the different things that men and women feed on today. I'm going to leave that with you. If you're feeding on the things of God, dear friends, you're going to grow. And they can't keep you from growing. And opposition will make you grow more. And I'll say a little more. If you're going in for God, you will have opposition. All I've ever got from the day God saved me was opposition. Thrown from pillar to post. But I'll tell you this, dear friend. Opposition makes you put both feet on before God as Daniel did. Daniel, if you don't bow down to that idol, you're going in to be a breakfast for those hungry lions. Ah, says Daniel, as well as the three Hebrew servants, the God whom we serve, the living God, he'll take care of us, and he did. There's going to be opposition. If you live godly in this present evil world, you will suffer opposition. Opposition, my friends, is what makes you stand on your feet for God. When three works for the city of Oklahoma, she come home one day and she was all tore up. Says, Daddy, I'm going to quit my job. I says, honey, what seems to be your trouble? These girls always come to the dad, you know. Well, she says, I get such a terrific headache. She says, why? She says, the girls on both sides of me smoke all the time. And she says, I just can't stand the smoke. Well, I says, that'd be a poor way, I says, to leave the job because of those girls smoking. I says, why don't you go to the boss and tell him that you just can't stay on the job any longer because of the smoke and you're subject to these headaches. I don't like polluting the air myself. I tell you, the dog did it with all night. And she went to the boss and she says, he says, well, he says, that'll be a poor reason for quitting because of the girls smoking. Why, he says, you know, we've got thousands of people working. And he gave her a raise of $15 and a job where she sat in the office alone. So she didn't have to quit. God's people has the best of it here, friends, and the best of it hereafter. Don't be afraid to stand up for God, even if you do lose your job. I lost a job in New York for standing up for God because I wouldn't work the Lord's day because God showed me from the Word that that was His day. And I had an appointment with Him, and every time I lost a job, I got a better one. I'm not out of work today. If I am, it's my own fault. God has given me plenty to do. Now look at another little portion, please, chapter 7. And these are just referred to chapter 7 of this wonderful book. Chapter 7, verse 18. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, Lord God? And what is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? Isn't that wonderful? David went on growing and going, and then went King David in and sat before the Lord. That's where we fail, isn't it? He went in and he sat down before the Lord. Let the Lord talk to you. Always take a little time to go in and to sit down before the Lord. And just let the Lord talk to you and let you talk to the Lord. And he went in and he sat down. Now chapter 12, please. Chapter 12 of this wonderful book. Verse 16. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. Now here is a trial in the home. Here is a grief in the home. The little infant there lay dying. What am I going to do? He went in before the Lord and he fasted. Now that's what we started our conference with. Fasting out the old man. Putting the knife upon him. And getting right in touch with God. He went in, right into the very presence of God. He sat before him and he brought the case before the Lord. That's what Hannah did. The adversary grieved her from day to day and she was back. And she went in and she poured out her heart to God and she went away and she was no more sad. The Bible, indeed, my friends, carries out everything it says. Take your burdens to the Lord. And leave them there. Chapter 15, please. Chapter 15. I'm not going to try to speak on these. Chapter 15, verse 30. And David went up. Now David went on growing and going. There was no standing still and there's no standing still yet. If you know anything about pushing an old bicycle with two wheelers, when you stop pushing it, you'll either tumble off or get off. It only goes when you go. He went on going and going, and then he went in. He took time off to go in and inquire of the Lord. Saul never took time to do that. And now we read, and David went up. Ah, thank God there's a going up to God. Going up to Bethel. Going up to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, Arise, let us go up unto the house of God. There's a going up. Up, my friends, into the mount. Up. The place where the Lord Jesus, a little bit above the level of the world today. The upper room. To sit down in his presence and have communion and fellowship with him. David was the rejected king. And those dear brethren were sharing in his rejection. And he went up weeping. Don't see much of that today. He went up weeping. And as he went up weeping. Up to the Mount of Olives. Ah, dear friends, there's not too much broken and a contrite spirit today. The prophet says, Oh, that my eyes were a fountain, that I could weep. Rivers of water. Weep day and night for the people of God. I wonder how much weeping for the people of God today. I wonder how much praying for the people of God today. I wonder how much kindness is shown to the people of God today. I wonder how much uplifting there is for the people of God today. David went up. You and I are to go up. We are to go forth unto him the person. Outside the camp, the place. Bearing the reproach. There is a reproach here. Bearing the reproach of the cross. And we are to crowd it a favor to do. Now there's another one, but I'm not going to look at it even. And David went out. Into the presence of God for communion and fellowship. Out for service. He went out to the battle. There's a battle to be fought. There's a battle, I say, to be fought. We're in a battle. We're in a fight. And it's a Christian fight. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And if you're taking sides with God and turning yourself over to God, you're going to come out on the winning side. May the Lord enable us, for his name's sake.